Amen. Appreciate it, Brother Eddie Davis. So glad God worked it out that he could come and be with us these couple of nights, tonight and tomorrow night. And so he's driven a long way today, and I know he may be a little tired, but let's just pray the wind to get behind his back, and he'll soar. Amen. Praise God.
Well, it is a joy and a privilege to be able to gather tonight here in the house of the Lord. I don't know who it was designed to come into the service, but I thank you so very much. And of course, it's a little bit cooler tonight than it has been. And of course, Brother Finney could have handled it a whole lot better than I could have. But thank you so much. You know, God's got a great family. And there's no family greater than the family of God. You know, there's three ways you can get into a family. There's only one way to be saved, but you can get into a family three ways. You can get in by birth, or you can get in by adoption, or you can get in by marriage. Well, when you got into family of God, you got in all three ways. And when you get in that many ways, there ain't no getting out. And I've never met anyone that was in real good that wanted out. Amen. What a joy it is to be able to gather tonight. For the pastors that are here, you don't know me and I don't know you, and I've preached all around here for 40 years and never came right through this particular area. And why that is, I don't know, but I'm glad to be here. Let me just say a word. I've got some letters here. God put it on our heart at the church where I pastor in Crossville, Tennessee, to begin a printing ministry. We have a man in the church that goes to foreign fields. He was in India last year. He's been there this year, but he was there last year. Had 751 pastors in the conferences. And what we do is we ship containers of scripture. And then when they get out of port in that particular area, then Brother Wattenbarger goes, and he'll have two or three weeks of meeting and distribute those Bibles to those pastors. One pastor said in India, he said, "Oh, thank you, Preacher Donald." He said, "They've about wore my Bible out," he said, "for my congregation." And he had a congregation of about 40. He said, "I only have one Bible." And he said, "One family will take it 1 week and then I'll get it back. And then I'll let another family take it a week and then I'll get it back." And he said, "They've just about wore my Bible out." And boy, God, oh my soul. And he's put it on our heart to begin a printing ministry at our church. It'll be the only printing ministry that I know of where there's no compensation. We'll not be charging for any scriptures that we send. And there's a great, great need, a great need. And the reason I'm saying this is that if you have, maybe if you would want to join us in missions effort at your church to help us out. We built a building just for this. It cost us $500,000. And it's already paid for, but then the press itself is coming probably next month. And it's bumping $800,000. And we don't have a large congregation, but God's graciously and wonderfully supplying the need. And if you want to invest in eternal dividends, then you might want to consider this. And so if there's a pastor here, I've given out some. If you would like to have a copy of this letter, I would like to give you one after the service. I feel at home here. There's a liberty here. And I bless the Lord for that. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there ain't. That's a Tennessee term for there is not. Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter 7. And I know who's been here prior to me this week. And I know that he's lifted the bar high. I promise you I'll not try to outdo Brother Finney because that's impossible. But I do want to preach what God's put in my heart. When they were talking about the little baby, and I have two grandboys, the only two grandboys I have two daughters. One of my daughters is, she's 47, she's never married. And I told her, I said, there'll be some blind guy come along and take you off her hands one of these days. She's there. But my other daughter has two sons. Both of them have deficiencies. My oldest grandson's 18. He has Down syndrome. And my youngest son's 15. And he's nonverbal autistic. And I'm telling you, it's a difficult road. But God knows what he's doing. And I just want to say, the other night, the Lord moved in the service at the church. And my youngest grandson, he's 6'5". He's 15. He's 6'5". And he weighs 240 and wears a 17 shoe. He's a big old boy. And but God moved in, and my daughter had them two boys. She hugged them up, and she said, Daddy, she calls me Daddy. She said, Daddy, could I say a word? And I said, yes. She said, I wouldn't take nothing for these boys. She said, God's taught me more about himself than I'd have ever known had I not had these boys. So most of the time we think burdens are bad, but sometimes God takes difficulties and turns them into blessings. Luke chapter number 7, I want to begin reading in verse number 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, tell John what things you have seen and heard. Have at the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He said, you go tell John, if he won't get mad at me, he can be blessed. He can be happy where he's at if he won't get mad at me. Whew. Verse 24, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out to the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's court. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What amazing words from the Lord here. But I want us to notice, or what I'm interested in tonight, is that John is needing questions answered. Now, there is those that would argue that John never doubted. I don't understand the text here. John was human just like we are. He even baptized the Lord, even heard the Father speak, "Thou art my beloved Son." He saw the Spirit of God descend on him in the form of a dove. And yet, circumstances and situations has caused him to want to know if Jesus is really who he says he is or not. So if John had that problem, don't get so down when you do. So John's needing questions answered. Sends two men. They say, "John's wanting to know these things, Lord." And Jesus, if you'll notice, does not answer John's question. He doesn't say, "You go tell John I'm who I said I am." He said, "You just go tell him what I'm doing." Notice in verse 24, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people." Now, all of the good things that Jesus said about John, those two disciples never heard. So what good things Jesus said about John never did hear about it. John was needing to hear a word from the Lord. And now Jesus is giving a word, but the two disciples have already departed. I want to preach tonight on unheard commendations. When God says good things about you, and you won't ever know it. You may be needing it. You may be needing a word from God drastically. You think you're going to go under, but what's God thinking about it? John's not thinking too much about the Lord, but the Lord sure is thinking a lot about John. I want you to notice something. I'm running away ahead of myself, but I'm at home here. I can tell it. I can see here that John is doubting Jesus. But Jesus never doubted John. Oh, why is that? Because Jesus knows once you belong to him, there's nothing can sever that. Nothing can take that away. Praise God. Now, John Baptist was a preacher in a transitional period, like Samuel was, who closed out the judges and introduced the kings. Or like Paul, who transitioned from the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the grace of God. Or like the 144,000 Jews that's going to transition again from the gospel of the grace back to the gospel of the kingdom during the tribulation period. Thank God we'll never hear none of that preaching. But John transitioned from the Old Testament prophets to the New Testament preachers. Woo! He closed out the shadow and said, "Here's the substance." All through the Old Testament, we have shadows of Jesus Christ. It was shadow after shadow. But John said, "Let me introduce you to the shadow. Here's the substance. Here's the Lamb that was slain. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." When you have a ministry like John Baptist, you don't have an outline book that you can go back and somebody else preached. What you got to have is you got to have a heart after God because he's going to give what nobody else has ever given. Now, won't you think about that? We find here that all these men had that was in these transition times from one dispensation to another is just a heart for God. Just a heart for God. Now, this great giant of the faith, this introducer of Christ, is concealed and incarcerated in Herod's dungeon. Whenever John sends those two disciples, Matthew 11 tells us that he called them while he was in prison and said, you go ask Jesus, find him and ask him if he's really who he says he is or not. So here's this great giant of the faith. Here's this man that knows God. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Without a shadow of a doubt, he knows him. But here he is, incarcerated in his little 4x4 cell of doubt, wondering, where is he? See, notice something right here. In verse number 18, or verse number 17, the Bible said, and rumors of him, talking about Jesus, went throughout all Judea, throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed John all of these things. You know what John's doing? Listen carefully. John's in that dungeon. He's there. He's in prison. He's fixing to get his head cut off. He's there. And he's needing questions answered. Those disciples of John comes and tells him all the miracle workings that Jesus is doing. John loved Jesus. John cares so much about Jesus. You know what John's waiting on? Waiting on that miracle worker to come walking down that dungeon. Come walking down through there. Open them prison cells and get him out of there. But it don't happen. See, when God don't come through, when you feel that he should, that's when the devil crawls up on your shoulder and tells you he don't care for you like he does everybody else. He'll tell you he don't really love you like he does everybody else. But he's a liar. God's got a will. God's got a way. And that way is going to be accomplished. We can't delete it and we can't detour it. God's got a way. Hey, if I didn't believe that, I couldn't make it. But I'm glad. Hallelujah. God's too good to do wrong, and he's too wise to make a mistake. Are you sitting in your little room of doubt? You've been faithful. You love God. You've been saved. You're sitting in that little room of doubt. You've seen God come through for so many others. You hear about what God's done for so many others. And here you sit, wondering where God's at. What's he doing? Why don't God work for me? I don't have the answer, but I can tell you this. He still cares for you. And I can tell you this, he may be telling over heaven what he said about John. You may not ever hear it. You may not ever hear it. You may doubt him, but he'll not doubt you. And that's the key. Are you listening to me? Now, see, I said, God, would you please, if you're going to have to deal in my family, let me just preach from my heart a minute. Back when I first started preaching, I started pastoring just a little while after I started preaching. I don't recommend that to nobody. Especially no woman preacher, but anyway. I'm just simply saying, I thought that my biggest problems was the people in the church. Maybe a deacon board. I thought that was my big problems. Brother Jarvis, when God finally helped me to see that they wasn't my problem. Then God began to bring testings and trials into my family personally. And I've said, I've begged God. I've crawled around at rooms in the nights. And I begged God, God, if you'll just let me take them tests again and keep the test away from my family, I sure would appreciate it. Oh, how much easier it would be for me. But you know what I found out? Even though the load's heavy, you know what a heavy load will do? Keep you on your knees. And the old devil will tell you God don't care, but he does. Oh, does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. I know he cares. Yes, he cares. He knows where you are tonight. Jesus knew where John was at. He wouldn't go get him out, but he sure was telling everybody else what a great man he was. Are you getting it? You seeing that? Now, John's the one that made this statement. I'll be done here in a little bit, I think. John chapter 3, verse number 30. You remember that great statement that John the Baptist made? He must end. And I must decrease. Could I say this? If you're ever going to be used much by God, that same philosophy is going to have to work in your life. That same truth. He must increase. And I must decrease. Let's look at the decreasing for just a minute. See, in the decreasing procedures sometimes are more difficult than what we would anticipate. In John's decreasing, there were some things that was increasing. What, preacher? Doubt, despondency, depression, defeat, discouragement. In John's decreasing, there was a lot of things increasing. Now, there was a decreasing in freedom. John's in prison. Okay? John, think about this. John's a child of the desert. The outdoors with its wind and water is John's friend. The open fields is what he enjoyed. Now all of this has been taken away. He's incarcerated. He's surrounded by his four walls of doubt. He's now filled with questions. You know, I thought about this, and I know this is camp meeting, but let me make this statement. Don't run me off for it. Sometimes a campsite would be better for you than a camp meeting. John now is in. Here's this man that's used to the outdoors. That's all he's ever known. Locusts and wild honey has been his food. Now he's incarcerated. Ma'am, sir, have you had some things that you, it's been taken away? It just ain't like it used to be. And now you're blaming God. That's why Jesus said to those disciples, you go tell John if he won't get mad at me. if he just won't be offended in me, he can be blessed. He can be happy if he just won't get mad at me. See, we're way too spiritual to ever admit that we're mad at the Lord. We'd never say that out loud. But God knows whether we are or not. Oh, and somebody said, well, how could you ever be angry with the Lord when situations don't go like we think that they should, and we know he's the only one that can fix it, and don't. We can be in a place where we wonder, God, do you really care? Do you really care? We see there's a decreasing in freedom. There was a decreasing in followers. John was the most well-known preacher of the day. Now he's in prison. Everybody else is turning after another man. The decreasing process is difficult. Now it's right to turn from John to Jesus. But see, John's just human too. Everybody's been flocking to John to be baptized. Now Jesus is drawing the multitudes. Preacher, pastor, are you having that problem? The decreasing process is difficult. It's good that when we have trouble getting in contact with Jesus, you know the thing about it, John still had two disciples. And those two disciples knew where Jesus was. Ain't it good when it seems like we can't get in contact with him? We got some folk that we can get a hold of that can get in contact with him. John couldn't get there. Have you ever felt like the heavens brass? But then you call up somebody and it seems like the sun shines. What is that? When you can't get to him, it's good to know somebody who can. So John calls these two and they make their way to where Jesus is. He's needing questions answered. Listen to me very carefully here. Sometimes our questions are not answered. Listen to this statement. Sometimes having your questions answered is not the answer. Suppose, and God forbid that it should, but suppose that I fall. Well, I fell back 3 years ago, and I shouldn't be here. I really shouldn't be here. But suppose that I fall, and I think my arm's broken. I feel like my arm's broken. Well, I go to the doctor, go down to the ER. You know what they do? They stick my arm under the X-ray. Yep, it's broken. They answered my question. Didn't fix my arm. Are you getting that? It answered my question, but it didn't fix my arm. But what is good is that the physician that owns the X-ray machine says we can take care of that arm. And we've got a great physician who is able. He may not answer your question, but he can take care of you. And he may answer your question, but that may not fix your problem. See, somebody said, if I only knew why. You're wanting your questions answered, and the answered questions is not the answer. You know who the answer is? It's God and God alone. That's the answer. He is the answer. Sometimes, you remember when Noah sent that dove out of the ark? You know what he came back with the first time? And of course, we know the dove's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Because that dove flew around that last time. That dove flew around and he didn't return. But old John Baptist was over there baptizing in Jordan. And you know what? The dove found another ark to light on. But you know, when Noah sent that dove out the first time, the dove came back with nothing. Sometimes you send out the dove to get an answer, and the dove comes back with nothing. 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 Somebody said, well, God's not fair when he does that. You can never say God's not fair. Sometimes the silence of God speaks much louder than what he would say. There's a decrease in freedom. He's in jail. There's a decrease in followers. There's a decrease in fame. His popularity is at its lowest ebb. Another's in the forefront. The crowds who once followed him following another. The decreasing process is very humiliating at times. I hope you're understanding what I'm preaching. We not only see here that decreasing, but let's look lastly at the declaration, what Jesus said. What Jesus said about John never knew. Though John doubted Jesus. Jesus never doubted John. I can see it now. John's over here in prison wringing his hands. Oh, I wonder when he's going to help me. I wonder when he's going to show. Is he really who he says he is? I wonder if it is. Over here on the other side, Jesus is saying, let me tell you about one of the greatest men I know. They ain't no greater than John the Baptist. John's sitting over there wringing his hands. Jesus over here magnifying John. Oh, I love that. Hey, whenever you're down and defeated and discouraged, remember if you belong to him, he knows where you are. He understands where you are. And he will take care of his own. Oh, bless his name. I see here the declaration about his steadfastness. I'll be done in just a minute. Notice this. John, Jesus said to that crowd that was left there, what were you out for to see? A man clothed in what? No, verse 24. What went you out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaking in the wind? He said, did you think that John is a reed shaking? You know what John's thinking? I'm a reed shaking. I'm a reed shaking. Jesus over here said, he ain't no reed shaking. You see, that reed that he was talking about grew in that land, is about 12 feet tall, and would bend to whichever way the wind blew, bowing to every trend that came along. Not John. He wasn't a reed shaking in the wind. He's steadfast. John doesn't know it, but Jesus does. John's doubting himself, but Jesus never doubted him. He was not blown about by everything that came along. I need to say it again. He didn't know it. But Jesus did. You know what that tells me? Jesus knows more about us than we know about ourselves. You know, I'm not hanging on to him. He's got me. I'm securing Christ. There's nothing greater. I'm secure eternally. Glory to God. You know what F.B. Meyer said about this situation? F.B. Meyer said, heaven judges not by passing moods and circumstances, but by general tenor and trend of a man's life. not by the expression of a doubt caused by a situation which can be explained, but by the soul that of man, which is much deeper than the emotions, as the heart of the ocean is much deeper than the clouds that shadow its surface. The clouds do not affect the deepest part of the ocean. You may be, and you know what John's experiencing? The clouds. The deepest part of the ocean is over here saying, this ain't going to destroy John. He don't know it, but I know it's not going to. He's doubting me, but I'm not doubting him. Woo! I'm having fun. There's the declaration about his self-denial. Verse 25. He said, what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. Yes. I heard a man take this verse right here one time and preached again wearing a suit and tie. I guarantee you he didn't look in the mirror before he preached that. You know, it's amazing how people can take stuff out of context. He's not talking here about what you put on. He's saying it's not a sin to wear. He's not saying it's a sin to wear nice clothing. He's saying what you put on doesn't expose the true you. Those who put on will eventually fall out by the way. He said, John don't know this. He thinks he's a goner, but I know better. Then let me give you this last thought. This really got a hold of me when God helped me to see this. There's the declaration about his superiority. He said in verse 26, but what went you out for to see, a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Behold, he said, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And that's what Jesus said to a man that's over here doubting about who Jesus is. Oh, what a great God we have. See, I see the likeness of his superiority. He didn't say that John was the greatest. He just said there was none greater. Amen. John didn't know it. Jesus did. None greater than man or prophet. That's what he said. Think about Moses and Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah. And here's a man over here doubting who Jesus is. And Jesus over here saying that He's as great as Isaiah and Moses and Ezekiel and Daniel. What about that? You know what that tells me? Jesus knew more about John than John knew about Jesus. I not only see the likeness of his superiority, but the largeness of it. He said, he's more than a prophet. He's more than a prophet. The other prophet said, he's coming. But John said, here he is. He was the last prophet. He was the last prophet. I don't care what sister so-and-so says. He was the last prophet. John's office was greater. His privilege was greater. The other prophets saw Christ's day from a distance. But John got to experience Christ's day. But now get this, and I'm done. I not only see the likeness and the largeness of his superiority, but I see the limit of his superiority. What do you mean, preacher? Latter part of verse 28, after Jesus said all of that about John, but He that is least, get this. If you missed everything else I said tonight, get this. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And he, and there's none greater than John, born of women, the prophets, said, the least one in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest. Now, how in the world can that be? What's he talking about? Well, how are those in the kingdom greater than John? You know who he's dealing with? Me and you. How are we greater than John? Well, John was a friend of the bridegroom. We just happened to be the bride. I think the bride carries a higher position than the friend of the bridegroom. Think about it. We have the fullness of divine revelation in the complete Word of God that John didn't have. John had for a little while, his ministry was 6 months long. For just a little while, he had the person of Jesus Christ. But you and I, for eternity, we have the indwelling of Jesus Christ. We're in him and he's in us. The smallest saint, the weakest saint, can put their hands on the Word of God and have more knowledge about Jesus than John had. Woo! You think this ain't a wonderful book right here? What privilege we possess today that's far greater than those that are before. I thought about it like this. A midget on a mountain can see further than a giant in the valley. The least in the kingdom of God can see much more than the giants that was down in the valley. They never saw the church. You know why the devil hates you? Am I supposed to be done yet? I will be. I said I was going to be done. I will die to get done. But you know why the devil hates you? So you know why the devil hates the church? You know why? Let me see if I can find it. 1 Corinthians 2. You don't have to turn. Listen carefully. Paul speaking. Said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who is the principalities and princes? The principalities. That's the devil and his demons. You know why God revealed the mystery of the church to the Apostle Paul? After the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus. The mystery of the church was always in the mind of God. But he didn't let it known. It was a hidden mystery. That's what it says. It was a hidden mystery that God revealed for our glory. Now, why does the devil hate you so? He said, had the princes of this world known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Had the devil known that through the death of Jesus Christ, a bride would be birthed. See, the devil ain't all-knowing. Had he known it, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. They'd have tried to keep him alive. Because through the death of Christ, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a bride of Christ that's here. And where the king goes, the queen gets to go. You know why the devil hates us? That's what got him kicked out of heaven. He wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. But guess what? God kicked him out, wretched got us. He got us. And now you and I get to rule and reign with him. We'll get to be with him forever. And the devil hates us because we are occupying the position he always desired. Now you'll have to chew on that if you don't believe it, but Romans chapter number 8. I promise you I'm done. I'm finished. More ways than Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written. Listen carefully. For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I saw something. I don't want to scare you with this. But it's in the scripture, and the scripture shouldn't scare you at all. But he's quoting from Psalm 44. This is what Psalm 44 says in verse 22. Yea, that word yea means yes. Yes, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Look what Paul says. Nay. 7. Nay. David said we're killed all the day long because we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul says, not anymore. Nay. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What's more than a conqueror? We're not good conquerors. A conqueror is somebody that's never lost. Never lost a battle. We're not even a conqueror. The Word of God declares that we are more than a conqueror. What in the world is more than a conqueror? You know what more than a conqueror is? Somebody that gets to enjoy the victory and not having to fight the battle. Somebody else has fought it for us. Somebody else has won the victory. We're in him. There's nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Ma'am, sir, I don't know where you are, what you're dealing with. I don't know if you're in your little cell of doubt what God is. God knows where you are. If you belong to him, give him glory. He said you can be happy in that situation if you just won't get mad at him. Won't get mad at him. God bless his name. I don't know how you do it here. I'm just telling you. I don't know. I don't know, but I feel like, and I wrestled all day coming over the mountain with what to preach tonight. This kept coming back to me, and I said, Lord, that ain't going to work. He said, leave that up to me. I'm just telling you, I don't know where you're at. I don't know how many of your hopes and dreams have fallen through. I don't know how many things have messed up. If you belong to the Lord, you're in the greatest place you could ever be. If you're in Christ, you're in the greatest place you could ever be. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a God who does care for you. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Oh, Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, it's been a while since you've touched my old heart like you have tonight. And thank you. God, would you take the efforts tonight and use them for you? Lord, there's probably folk in this auditorium that's got millions of questions on why. But Lord, help them to realize that they can serve a God and love a God that they can't understand. Sometimes that's easier said than done. I don't understand your ways, but I understand you. You're God, and I love you. Please have your way. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray.